what are the other responsibilities that
we see laid out for men in Scripture is to remember the words of the Lord and to communicate them to the next generation. So the words that the Lord had given Adam around not eating of the tree that's in the center of the garden, God told Adam that. He never told Eve that. And it was his responsibility to communicate that accurately to Eve. And what we see is that when she quotes to the serpent, she tweaks what the original commandment of the Lord was in a way that's incorrect. And likely it was because Adam didn't communicate it accurately. I think one of the things, I was actually reading a book, and it's an interesting book. It's titled The Silence of Adam. And really, the underpinnings of the book is around the fact that men oftentimes, when they're faced with difficult circumstances, rather than stepping into the challenge, we tend to shrink back. That's one of the weaknesses that we all struggle with as men. And if we read the actual story of the fall, it's interesting to note, and the author of the book, and I know that there are others who have a different opinion on this, but the author of the book that I was referencing actually believes that Adam was there when the serpent was tempting Eve. If we read chapter 3, I'll start with verse 4. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she also took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And so, you know, based on that verse, the author says that, you know, Adam was there. You know, the serpent was tempting Eve, and he was there. Rather than stepping in and saying, no, this is what the Lord, word of the Lord said, and protecting his wife, instead he shrunk back and allowed her to be tempted. And so another aspect of responsibility is that as God as creator spoke order into darkness. And so one of the things as men, as laid out in the book, was that as men in those circumstances where there is darkness, where there is unfamiliarity, where there is a degree of discomfort, that God calls us to, through faith and trust in him, to step forward into the darkness and bring a semblance of order in the midst of what is confusion. And those are all challenging things. We all have, if we're honest with ourselves as men, we have fears and things that we are self-conscious about or sensitive about. But, you know, the Lord calls us to step into the darkness and provide order.
There's one more thing I see here. I think it's important that Adam had a relationship with God, and that God had a relationship with Adam, and God created Adam so that he might have a relationship. And we get that by the word Lord God. Before, in Genesis 1, God is always seen as God, Elohim. But when Genesis 2 opens up, it's the first time we read Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim. That's in verse 4 of chapter 2. But then it's particularly used in relationship to God's relationship with man. And so with that, I just want to underline that man has a responsibility. Each one of us as men have a responsibility in our relationship with the Lord to develop that relationship. And I would just throw out a little word for our sisters, for your encouragement. If the guy has no relationship with the Lord, take off running. Because that's not the guy for you. You want a guy that has a relationship with the Lord. And we find this with Adam. He had a relationship with the Lord. Lord Jehovah Elohim.
I think when you look at Adam, the very first thing, especially when you talk about responsibility, I think headship needs to be used, because it needs to be recognized. Adam knew who his boss was. Adam knew who could tell him what to do. And the verse for us is 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man is Christ. And so I think that's the definition of a man. Man's made, he immediately recognized who his creator was. It wasn't until Cain and Abel where that, like, kind of that Cain didn't recognize God's authority over him. Abel did, And that's where, you know, man has taken a very bad turn. But Adam recognized from the beginning, God has rights over me. Mm-hmm. God could tell me what to do. That's it. He made a mistake. He disobeyed. But he recognized who he should have obeyed, because when God came to walk with him, he hid, because he recognized that the one who had rights over him, he had just disobeyed. And I think that's the definition you see here, especially when you consider the responsibility given to Adam. For Adam to accept that responsibility, he had to recognize the authority over him. And I think headship sums it up best.
Good point. I've segued better into point two. That's exactly point two. Second thing for a biblical man, he's under authority. He's under authority. What we have in our world today is men who are not under authority, exerting authority. Men who have not checked themselves, who are then making decisions and choices for masses of people. And so under authority is the second attribute, the second characteristic that we get out of this text about being a biblical man. Am I under authority? Do I recognize, and Joseph eloquently stated, in fact, it's the same text that we have, that I had on my notes here, that fact that the head of every man is Christ, that I'm under authority. If I'm not under authority, then I'm going to act very much like the world in doing whatever comes to mind, whatever suits me, whatever pleases me. So we have first one is responsibility, that God is our creator and he gives us roles and responsibilities to take up. But then he also expects us to be and to act as those who are under authority. And there's a wonderful text in Luke's gospel, which when I was preparing this, it kind of leaped out the page to me. It says that the centurion came to the Lord Jesus and said, I also am a man under authority. The testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked here in this scene was that he was a man who was moving under the authority of God the Father. What has to demonstrate, what has to be a reality in my life as a man and your life as a man, is that you have to be under the authority of your head, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not, then you're going to make choices and decisions based on a whole different set of criteria. So we have responsibility. And we have under authority. I want to turn to Romans, and we'll get the third one. And I've only picked out three, and I'm sure there's more. But I only picked out three for our discussion today because I think when we look at these three, and I wanted to really get to the application in the two specific areas that we have a real concern about in the assembly and in relationships, is to see how these three things really work together. If we turn to Romans, the last principle, I think, and this is not just for men, by the way, this is for all believers, it's the concept of accountability. So you have responsibility, living under authority, and then accountability. Romans chapter 14. Verse 12. And like I said, the text here is for every person, not just men, but in the context of our discussion, it's men. So he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I cannot live autonomously. I do not operate autonomously. I am under authority. I am taking up responsibility, and I recognize that I'm accountable to God.
James chapter 5, verse 16, also tying to that idea, which reads, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.